Hello, and welcome to the inaugural episode of the In Summation, The Final Word podcast. My name is Paul Townsend. I'm the creator of the show and your host slash mentor through this experiment. This being the first episode, the first questions anyone listening is going to want answered are, who am I and what is this podcast about? Well, I'm a lawyer. I work as senior counsel at Gottlieb & Janey, LLP, a New York City-based law firm where I focus on complex criminal defense work. You can read an in-depth bio on our firm's website, gottliebjaney.com, but in a nutshell, I've worked both as a criminal defense attorney and as a prosecutor in my career. I've tried cases in state and federal courts all over the country and was one of the four attorneys who defended Joaquin El Chapo Guzman in the Eastern District of New York in his four-month trial. I've spent time at each table in the criminal courts. I understand how prosecutors bring charges and how defense attorneys contest them. This has given me some interesting perspective into a lot of the cases that we're going to dig into, understanding the mindsets of both sides. So here's the show. I'm going to break down some of the most famous but chronically misunderstood or only partially understood criminal and civil cases in our country's history. These cases garnered national attention and were covered extensively for months on end. But despite the flood of news articles, blogs, and primetime coverage, the actual facts behind who did what and why are often lost. In other words, I'm going to explain how these cases ended the way that they did. And the reason that I think there might be a group of people willing to give me a little bit of their time to cover these topics is that I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to people, both in and out of the legal field, who have followed the news on a case like the Varsity Blues scandal and know that what Lori Loughlin or Aunt Becky did was wrong, but are unable to articulate the exact law she was alleged to have broken. Or they read the flood of news covering the Martin Shkreli Pharma Bro spectacle and knew that they considered Shkreli a criminal, but couldn't really identify what he was accused of actually doing. People typically know the way that some of these famous cases ended, but they don't always know why. Recently, there's been an uptick in people taking notice of what's going on in the criminal courts. People in New York are following the grand jury decision on the Breonna Taylor, Kentucky homicide case. Californians are acutely aware of the details of the Jacob Blake homicide in Wisconsin. And Floridians are hooked on Seattle, Washington's Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone and how the police and courts are responding to it. For a long time, members of the general public viewed what happens in the criminal courts with skepticism and confusion. My fellow criminal attorneys and I have seen this firsthand, but that era seems to be changing. People are now seeing the justice system as something they can follow rather than an abstract ideal. This country was built on a principle that justice is for everyone, and nowhere is that ideal put to the test more stringently than in a criminal prosecution. The public seems now to be waking up to the fact that there are criminal trials, and that no matter how high profile they may be, they're inherently accessible if people merely seek the information out. So this podcast is for you, the listener who remembers that the glove did not fit O.J. Simpson's hand, but are pretty sure there was more to that case than just one catchphrase. There was, and we're going to talk about it. So now that you know a little bit about what the show is about and who I am, I'd like to give you a preview of what the first substantive episode is going to cover. On February 26, 2012, a 17-year-old African-American boy named Trayvon Martin was walking down the street in a gated community in Sanford, Florida. The local neighborhood watch coordinator, a man named George Zimmerman, called 911, believing that Martin looked suspicious and didn't belong. Shortly after making that call, Zimmerman confronted Martin and ultimately ended up shooting Martin to death. The case instantly made national headlines. Zimmerman was charged with murder, in a case many considered as racially charged as the O.J. Simpson trial. Most people remember that Zimmerman was ultimately acquitted of murdering Martin. But what were the facts that came out? Who testified against him? Who testified on his behalf? What is a special prosecutor, and why was one appointed? What was her trial strategy, and more importantly, why didn't it work? What is a prosecutor required to prove in Florida to convict on a murder charge? How do affirmative defenses work, and what did Zimmerman have to show in order to escape culpability? And finally, what exactly does the Stand Your Ground law allow a person in Florida to actually do? There clearly was no issue as to how Trayvon Martin died or who caused his death. The sole issue was whether those actions constituted murder under the laws of the state of Florida. So please, tune in for the episode on the state of Florida versus George Zimmerman and learn what exactly happened in Seminole County, Florida that led to George Zimmerman walking out of the courthouse a free man. Until then, I thank you for listening to the first episode of In Summation, and I hope that you'll come back for more.